I will always remember the Giant fans.
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles here on MSG. I'm Bob Pava. Over the next 30 minutes, we're going to take a look back at the rivalry between the Giants and Minnesota Vikings. Yes, the Giants have traditional rivals like their division foes and the San Francisco 49ers. But the Giants and Vikings history is also quite intertwined with meetings in the postseason, as well as a trade with a quarterback who made it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Sit back and enjoy over the next 30 minutes. We look at the Giants and Vikings. The Giants-Vikings rivalry dates all the way back to the early 1960s when Minnesota joined the NFL as an expansion franchise. The two teams squared off for the first time in 1964 at Yankee Stadium. And despite a 100-yard kickoff return by New York's Clarence Childs, the Vikings would beat the Giants behind the strong play of their star quarterback.
And let's take our hats off to Minnesota's elusive Fran Tarkenton. The Viking quarterback does a fantastic job of eluding tacklers. And that's the way it went for the 1964 New York Giants.
But in 1967, the history of both franchises would become intertwined forever when Minnesota traded the scrambling Tarkenton to the Giants. New York had just finished the prior season in the basement of the NFL with only one win and 12 losses.
The Giants were delighted to welcome football's most animated quarterback, but obtaining him from the Vikings exacted a steep price.
We gave them the number one pick for that given year coming up, and the following year, the number one pick. And the same thing with the number two for that year and the following year. And said, we're going to get Tarkenton. If we get to be a better ball club, it'll be worth it to us.
That team in New York, that first year that I was there, we finished 7-7. That was the finest accomplishment of any of my 18 years of professional football. They were a ragamuffin team that played hard and played together, had heart and had soul. Allie did a great job with that team. And for us to be 7-7 was like being 14-0 with any other team. It was the best year any team that I played on had ever had. We spread the field. We put men in motion. We had nobody in the backfield. And the reason we had to do this is that we didn't have a big offensive line. So we had to use the short passing game to be our running game. The West Coast offense, as we know it today, was absolutely started in New York. And they let me be a part of that architecture. And we had more fun with it.
Many people have asked me how I got started scrambling. Well, really, I think it all started when I used to watch NFL football on television. And I used to watch the quarterbacks go back and throw from the pocket 7 yards deep. And if things were going right, they would throw the ball, get their completions, and usually their team would win. My philosophy has always been if I have a rush and my linemen do break down occasionally, which all of them do break down sometime, then I will try to get out of the pocket and move around and try to find an opening and a receiver downfield and still get something out of the play. We really didn't have a scramble offense, although people accused us of it. We never practiced the scramble because really we only used the scramble maybe 3 times a game on an average. Many people don't believe this because when they see films of me playing football, they always see the films of me in a scramble situation. But actually, I would scramble an average of 3 times a game and throw from the set position something like 24 or 25 times a game. But it was a weapon for us, and sometimes it was effective, and sometimes, like anything, it wasn't as effective as we would have liked.
In the first game of the 1969 season, the Giants hosted the Vikings. Trailing 23-10 in the fourth quarter, Tarkenton threw 2 touchdown passes to secure a 24-23 comeback victory over his former team. The 1969 win marked the only time that the Giants would beat the Vikings in their first 7 meetings. During his time in New York, Fran would develop a strong chemistry with tight end Bob Tucker.
You know, his job was to go, get on the field. He worked closely with the line. He was the general. He knew where he wanted attacked, why he wanted attacked. He always had a reason for everything he wanted to do. I mean, in those days, he called his own plays. And we had a good offensive scheme, and we were up and down the field. I mean, we were geared to score in, you know, 6, 8, 10 plays. So he was able to find what was exposed and hit on it. You know, he did all this scrambling. I mean, in the early times, I would run my pass pattern, look around, and, you know, where is he? And he'd be running back 10 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards behind the field, and I'm running this way, now back. And he would just run in circles, and he just kept the pass play alive. He was always in the game, you know. No matter where you were, you knew this guy, he was in the game. He was thinking all the time. They were trying to score.
In an ironic twist, the Giants would trade Tarkington back to the Vikings in 1972. With Tarkington back, manning the helm for Minnesota, the Vikings would win the next two meetings with Big Blue in the 1970s. But the rivalry would go dormant for a full decade until the two teams met once again in the Giants' championship season of 1986. In Week 11 against the Minnesota Vikings, the Giants had their backs against the wall as time was running out.
Third down. Giants trailed by a point. Starting to come a little more clear.
They got him.
Back. All the way back to the 48 of the Giants. 1:12 on the clock. Fourth down upcoming.
It was my favorite game of my career.
Sims goes over to talk to Parcells and company.
We went back to probably maybe one of the first plays we installed in training camp. I knew I told Bobby Johnson, Bobby, don't fall asleep over there, because we never threw it to him in that play.
Fourth and 17, two receivers left, one on the right. McConkey comes in motion to the right-hand side.
I had to stay in block, and I thought I saw two guys come in, and I wasn't sure which one I had, so I think I kind of tried to do both, and I didn't get any.
And Phil took a really big hit there from Millard.
Sims drops back to the 40.
I think Sims got rid of the ball just in time before, you know, my guy sacked him.
And to throw the football when it leaves your hand, I knew it was perfect.
Sims drops back to the 40. Sims throws. Completed. He's in. Yes. At the 30-yard line. First down.
What a catch by Johnson.
There was never a sense of doom and gloom on that 86 team. We always had the sense that we were going to do it, you know.
Snap set. The ball is up. Good. The Giants have put it through.
Wow. You talk about a ball game.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, the Giants-Vikings rivalry.
First and 10. Hampton hits the carry. Hampton is off to the races. Hampton still on his feet. Rodney Hampton, touchdown Giants. 51-yard sprint by Rodney Hampton.
On a cold day in January, this rivalry would be renewed with New York and Minnesota meeting at Giants Stadium in the 1993 NFC wildcard game. In a smash-mouth affair between two of the league's best defensive teams, both squads dished out some serious punishment. But the Vikings would strike the first blow.
Back to Graham, double tight end, makes the handoff, bootlegs right, he might run. He's going to throw, long, way down, it is... touchdown.
I look at the Minnesota game and the playoff game when we was behind, and after halftime we came in and everything started clicking. The running game started clicking, found some creases and bust some long runs.
Hampton gets the call going right, finds a hole right, gets the cross for 40, 35, he's down the right side, he might score. Touchdown! Brilliant blocking and brilliant running by Hampton.
I probably had over 150 yards and scored two touchdowns in the second half.
That's all. Hampton inside the five.
We got a couple turnovers, and defense was solid like always, and, you know, we won a football game.
So it's fourth down. Sacked by Hamilton. McMahon again, struggling to his feet.
Great
drafted by LT and Keith Hamilton. And these fans, I got to be thrilled at the turnaround season that Dan Reeves and his coaching staff have given them. Tremendous game and a great victory.
4 years later, the playoff setting would be the same, as the Giants once again hosted the Vikings in the 1997 wildcard game.
And there it goes! That's what time it is! It is game time! That's why this thing goes free!
Now on a play action, rolls to his right, looks to the end zone! Touchdown! Aaron Pierce makes a sliding grab, and the Giants widen their lead, and the fans go wild. Looking for Carter, intercepted by Seahorn. What a play by Jason! Maynard to hold, high snap, gets it down. Delwiso's got plenty of distance. Ball on its way, and it is good. Delwiso connects from 52 yards out with 13 seconds to go in the half, and the Giants take a 19-3 lead.
For nearly three quarters, they dominated their Midwestern foes and appeared well on their way to the next round of the playoffs when disaster struck.
Throws left toward the end zone. Touchdown, Jake Brown.
Oh, my God. That was one of the worst losses of that I can remember. They came back on us. I don't know how many points they scored in that fourth quarter. I don't remember, but it was crazy.
You know what you're going to see now, folks? The onside kick.
It comes to the near side left, and it looks like the Vikings may have recovered it. They have. Takes the snap, gets it down, the kick is up, and good. Disgust on the Giants sideline.
It was very upsetting because I know how hard we had worked, and I thought we really did have the defense to go all the way. And it was just one of those things where we weren't able to be successful that day. But that was a tough loss. And I felt like if we didn't learn anything from this loss, we had to do something about it the next year.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, the Giants-Vikings rivalry. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, the Giants-Vikings rivalry.
Get it in here, D-line. Let's go. Let's go, D-line. Let's lock a load on their ass tonight, buddy. Let's go. Let's lock the playoffs, dog.
125%.
I'm coming all night, Big Dad.
I hear you.
You're not going to run on me.
The rivalry would reach its boiling point in the 2000 NFC Championship game.
The towels are waving. The fans are fired up. 60 minutes from the Super Bowl. Will it be the Vikings or the New York Giants?
We knew that they had to come in here and play us. So we felt like if we got them out there on that field in that cold weather, we had them.
Collins back, steps up over the middle, and he's got a man. It's Hilliard to the 5, touchdown! 6 yards down the left side. I want to be like that. He's got six.
And what a perfect long pass by Collins.
He said that we'll score 100 points against him. We're going to score almost every time we touch the ball. So get ready. You're going to be tired. We're going to run it up on him.
Throwing down the right side. It's got Camilla. Touchdown!
Crowd is sensing blood in the water.
Before Minnesota's offense has ever stepped on the field, the Giants have 13 points.
In the moment that we scored the first touchdown, and they got stopped, and then we scored another touchdown, it could have literally been 100-0 if we had dropped.
This game is over. This game was over in the first quarter. I told these guys in the first quarter, hey, Giants can't be beat, and Minnesota may not score.
Keep them off the board. Keep them off the scoreboard.
24-0 was like really the comfort zone. Because I felt like if we got 24 points, we knew we could control them defensively. So that's when I kind of started thinking, we're heading to the big show.
Quarterback Kerry Collins would have a game for the ages, tearing apart the Minnesota secondary.
Lobs it back corner of the end zone for Toomer. He's got a touchdown! Oh, what a play by Collins! He just outworked the defensive back, Robert Tate.
Collins' 5 touchdown passes in a playoff game still stands as a Giants record.
Great job.
Thank you.
Unbelievable.
Thanks for everything.
Hey, put it on your shoulders. You get it right on through there.
The Vikings on the near side glancing up at the scoreboard. A bit shocked. A
couple looks I got that everybody was ready to go home. So it was a good feeling.
The final score, the Giants 41, the Vikings nothing. Super Bowl, here we come.
The 2000 NFC Championship game marks the greatest performance by any Giants team in the history of the old stadium, from its opening in 1976 to its closing in 2009. And fittingly, the Giants owner and patriarch would be on hand to celebrate the victory with his team.
I just felt like they had invested a lot in us. You know, the core group of guys that they kept together, they believed in us. And it was just good to see him up there holding that trophy.
This is the Giant team that, as we referred to, was the worst team ever to win the home field advantage in the National Football League. And today, on this field of painter's mud, we proved that we're the worst team ever to win the National Football Conference Championship. And I'm happy to say that in 2 weeks, we're going to try to become the worst team ever to win the Super Bowl.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, the Giants-Vikings rivalry. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, the Giants-Vikings rivalry. New York and Minnesota have been battling against each other on the gridiron for the last half century. The Vikings lead the all-time series 14 wins to the Giants 11. But the Giants do hold a 2-1 advantage in the postseason. The last time the two teams met was in the 2010 season. The Giants were scheduled to play in Minnesota, but when the Metrodome ceiling collapsed under the weight of 17 inches of snow from a recent storm, Big Blue's travel plans would change. After spending a night in Kansas City, the team flew to Detroit, where the game had been rescheduled. The Giants would show no signs of jet lag, though, as their ground game pounded the Vikings all night.
Hand off, Jake bounces it left to the outside. Jacobs to the 20, down the left sideline, 30, up to the 40, across midfield, needs a block to the 40, 35, 30, tripped up at the 20, keeps his feet, finally tackled. Brandon Jacobs with the longest run of his career, 73 yards. Manning handoff Jacobs into the end zone, touchdown Giants.
With old gunslinger and legendary quarterback Brett Favre watching from the sidelines, the Giants defense would sack Tavarius Jackson four times on the evening.
Jackson in the shotgun set. Takes the snap, Giants send a blitz. Jackson's going to get sacked, Barry Cofield gets him this time. Manning out of the gun. Steps up, throws it to the end zone for Boss. Did he make the catch? Yes, touchdown! Kevin Boss made one heck of a catch.
Running back Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw would each run for over 100 yards and a touchdown to carry New York to victory.
Off Bradshaw, slips through a hole, and he's gone. 35-30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Ahmad Bradshaw.
Now 3 years later, the two teams will meet again in a highly anticipated Monday Night Football matchup. But with the reigning NFL MVP Adrian Peterson on the other side of the ball, Big Blue will certainly have their work cut out for them. AP has been torching defenses across the league since his return from an ACL injury last year.
Hand off Adrian, scoots to the right side, gets loose at the 50, sprints out to the right to the 40, and Adrian's inside the 30, to the 20, 10, touchdown!
Well, there's no question. I think everyone would say that he's the best back in the league. It just seems like you can play him pretty good for three quarters or for 75 or 80% of the runs he had. It's that one play where he takes it for 70. You know, he's that dynamic. You got to play your best run defense against him every play. And if you don't, you know, he's that type of back that can take it home. So, you know, we can't get in a lull and say, oh, we're shutting him down. Because once you start thinking that, he finds a way to cut back and break a tackle, and he's off to the races. And I haven't seen anybody catch him.
With the Giants desperately seeking that elusive first win to their 2013 season, they're hoping that everything starts to click against their old rival Minnesota.
We got to turn it around, and we can. We truly believe we can, and we can start winning. And we need to get one this week. Going against a good team, but we got to play well.
I mean, four quarters of championship quality football is what our objective has been for a long time. I've seen it get better, believe it or not, but it hasn't gotten home yet, obviously.
I think right now we're not focused on being 0-6. You know, we're focusing on trying to get better as a team, and that's our focus right now. Our focus is Minnesota Vikings. We're trying to go out there and get our first win of the season.
It certainly was an unusual circumstance back in 2010 when the Giants beat the Vikings in Detroit. But it was one of those games where the Giants played the type of football that they had been accustomed to, hitting the quarterback, running the football, and making timely plays. That has been one of the recipes as to why the Giants are 2-1 in the postseason, lifetime against the Minnesota Vikings. That wraps it up for this week's show. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Make sure you join us again here on MSG next week for another edition of Giants Chronicles. This segment is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com.